This market update is brought to you exclusively by Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. You want to talk with Glenn? Here's his number. Give him a call right now for a complimentary consultation at 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. Or you can email Glenn, GLEEST at WTWealthManagement.com. Let's get right to it. All right, let's get a market update from Glenn Least from WT Wealth Management. Going to hit on especially NVIDIA, which is the big one that everybody's talking about nowadays, and how that one's really pushing the stock market higher and higher. But what's the economy looking like going forward in some election year? Economics as well with Glenn Least. And Glenn, how are you doing today?
I've been doing great. Finally looking forward to there being no more snow on the ground in Flagstaff. So
hopefully it's
the last snow, but we'll see. You hit the nail on the head. One of the, some of the bigger companies are even driving the performance to the start of this year. One of the biggest ones that we've seen really kind of take off is NVIDIA. They went from being maybe 20th as far as the, market cap, biggest company in the world to, now they're hovering, in the fourth, fifth, sixth position. So they've been getting, they just had tremendous growth. And the question becomes, why are they seeing so much growth and why? What's driving it? And the answer is really the emergence of artificial technology and where that's going to take us. And
doesn't it seem, Glenn, not to interrupt you, but we were just really talking about this emergence of AI, you and I, like a year or two ago. It was like, hey, there's this thing kind of, we've always known about it. I mean, we're all aware of like Terminator and stuff like that, but it's just really taken off. Like, I couldn't have imagined just in the past year or two, really.
Yeah. So I said NVIDIA was number four. It's actually number three for the largest company in the world. So that kind of tells you. So AI is a really broad, subject or area. So it's like, okay, what AI are we specifically talking about? Because there's probably the one most people are aware of is the large language models. So that would be like your ChatGPT, your Gemini, which used to be Bard. And those ones are really meant to, it's kind of like a question and answer. You can say, hey, do this research or find, the top, running shoe or whatever you want. And they scour the internet and then basically answer your questions in the form that maybe another human would. So that's really just that technology alone has changed how we do research, the education system. You could write a whole term paper, with 10 seconds of typing into ChatGPT, and it'd be pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So I think that's, evolving, but that's not the only area. The other area that we're seeing is they call it deep machine learning. And so similar process of the language models, but maybe it's learning a very specific set of data. So maybe it's studying weather patterns. And, after studying weather patterns for so long, it could sort of not predict, but, definitely outline some tendencies of when this happens, there's a 50% chance that this storm happens. And the deep learning could be anything from weather to finance to manufacturing. Manufacturing is kind of interesting. They'll show the computer, 10,000 different Coke bottles or whatever it is, and show them how it should look. And so it knows, it learns all the intricate details. That way, when there's one that comes across the assembly line that doesn't meet that criteria, it automatically knows to pull it and send it back, to be remelted down. So it's really kind of, it has an exciting part to it, but also has the dark side as well of, Terminator being one example.
Yeah. The extreme case. Kind of
the extreme case. But, so I'll pose this question. We all thought all this new technology in the last 20 years was going to make our life better and easier. And in reality, I don't know that it has. I mean, if you think about having a smartphone in your pocket, yes, you can be more productive with it and have access to information, but you could also be on YouTube or Facebook for hours on end and not be productive at all. So I think humans naturally have the tendency to not want to work. And so AI definitely compounds that issue. And what impact will it have on the job market? Will it make our lives better? You know, which would be obviously the hopeful case. But, you know, I think it goes the other way too, where people just, you know, I talked to my kids the other day and I said, hey, do you guys realize that if I want to, I can live my whole life with never leaving this house. I can have my food delivered. Yeah. I can have restaurant takeout orders. You know, I could do my work via Zoom, order everything on Amazon. And I was thinking about how strange that statement was, because 25 years ago, that was like, couldn't even fathom that statement. So lots changed.
Yeah, that was like this weird stuff of science fiction movies. Oh, there's going to be a car that drives itself. Oh, there's going to be a drone that delivers stuff. You're crazy. Oh, you know, I mean, I like to watch old reruns of like Star Trek, like from the 80s and 90s, you know, those different episodes of Star Trek Next Generation, Star Trek Voyager, things like that. And the stuff that they had, how they projected the future was like, wow, that happened like in 20, 30 years. I mean, I'm not talking like warp speed here or anything, but just like the devices, the, you know, talking to the computer and all this stuff, it's come on so fast. And I think you pose a really good question, Glenn, or observation is, are we really that much better off? Are we reaching the point? Yeah, we have all this technology, but are your lives really that much better off? Did we have it dialed in just, you know, 10 years ago even? And are there such huge advances coming that it may increase productivity, or you may have more stuff and more access to more information, but are you miserable at the same time? And I think that's something people are going to have to get a grasp on, Glenn.
Yeah. And I think the big takeaway as far as like the job markets and just, you know, us as humans, you know, like what will jobs look like in the future? And I definitely think that the more mundane jobs are going to get automated. Mm. It's inevitable. So if you're their worker working kind of an entry level mundane job, you know, it's, you know, would behoove that person to continue to grow their skill set to the point where, you know, now that they can maybe use AI as a complement to, you know, their job, and AI is not replacing their job, but it's a tool to help them, you know, be better at the job that they're trained for and have the skills for. So I definitely think there's going to be a, you know, hard, rude awakening for people that haven't invested in their skill set and are just kind of working those, you know, more, yeah, you know, entry level jobs that can be automated. So we'll see.
It's a good point. And also the purpose of, like, you know, if you can just sit around and it's convenient all the time, but you're not achieving anything at some point and you're just streaming stuff, or with this technology, and Nvidia is a big one, but all the companies are coming up with like the virtual reality, and people are walking around. I can't remember if it was Apple or Google, whoever, they keep reintroducing the new glasses where they're filming everything. Everything's a reality TV show at this point. I don't think we're wired for that. And I don't think we're wired to all sit at home and not interact, you know, usually come into the studio. I got just crazy schedule right now with trying to get ready to go away and stuff. But usually, you know, we like interacting. We talk a little before, talk a little after, you know, how's life, things like that. We're losing that. And maybe there'll be a new movement. Maybe in 10 years, there's going to be some, you know, hippie commune movement where there's no technology allowed, where you got to go to like some tent or something to, you know, get online. I don't know. But back to NVIDIA. They actually make the, like the chips and the boards, like the technology. Is that correct?
Yeah. Think of it as the brains of some of these large language models. So yeah. So the AI technology wouldn't be possible unless they have the computing power to facilitate it. And that's going to be more and more of a important part of driving AI forward, is who's going to supply the brain, you know, for, you know, implementing these AI technologies. And the better they get at the chip and the more technology they're able to incorporate, the better AI can become as well. So I think they kind of go hand in hand.
And just my quick probably AI search here, says NVIDIA holds approximately 80% of the global market share of GPU semiconductor chips as of 2023. So it's a Silicon Valley company. So they're they've already got that very much cornered. Are they the one that becomes the next Google, Apple? You know, that's just the big behemoth, the Microsoft going forward. But what I've noticed, and I want to get your take, and by the way, it's Glenn Least with us with WT Wealth Management. And, you know, Glenn really knows this stuff and studies this stuff a whole bunch. And Glenn, what I want to get your take on though is when I'm looking at stock price increases and the market's kind of cranking up, it's like five stocks that are driving up the whole market, of which NVIDIA is one of them.
Yeah.
Isn't that a bit concerning that a lot of, because the stock market is made up of many, many, many companies, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And you got five stocks, and NVIDIA being the real big one, that's really driving the market up to record highs. And then some of the other companies within that group of five or so are relying heavily on NVIDIA for buying the stuff, your Googles and so on and so forth. Aren't we getting a little too non-diversified, I guess? Does this concern you?
So if you look at some of the biggest companies in the world, your Apple, your Microsoft, your Alphabet, also known as Google, Meta, NVIDIA, you know, all those companies, AI is a big part, becoming a bigger and bigger part of what they're doing and where they see things moving forward. So we have the joke at our office that if you're doing a company's earnings call, if they even mention AI or the word AI or artificial intelligence, their stock price, shoots up through the roof. Because funny enough, AI is actually combing and listening to the earnings calls and probably have some sort of algorithm that when this gets mentioned, oh, send the stock price up. I mean, they do the same thing with the Jerome Powell. Like, it's kind of interesting. You can see the market, against him speaking in real time.
Yeah.
And you can see as the words he says, the market spikes up or down. And that's not humans sitting there doing that. They're not that responsive, but it's AI technology. So, it can be a little bit concerning for sure. I think there's going to be competitors that come out. NVIDIA can't be the only show in town. I think there's going to be more options as time goes on. But
no, nevertheless,
they're certainly looking like the 800 pound gorilla in the room for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was, anytime somebody gets that good, somebody comes in and starts making similar products. It may take some time, but that's the market. I mean, it happened to Intel, it happens time and time again. I remember when Apple was, you can barely give away that stock, right?
Yeah. Now, IBM is not even like one of the most heavily traded stocks in the 1980s, I think. And if you ask someone what IBM is now, they go, I don't know. Who are those guys? International business machines. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because Apple used to grind on IBM. Remember back in the late 70s, early 80s, and IBM was the big brother. Remember the big brother commercial they did there in the Super Bowl in like 82 or 84, whenever that was. And then really Apple became that same exact thing. Fast forward, a couple of decades. Well, we'll see what happens with the market. I do get concerned though when we're relying on just a few stocks, and so many people have nowadays so much tied up in all this pensions, retirements and this and that. And it'd be nice if we saw kind of the whole thing going up, all companies doing well, or not all, but more than five.
Yeah. I mean, some of the other ones that have, had a good year, like your Amazon, Walmart, even some of like the international companies like your Saudi Arabia, their oil juggernaut company, the Saudi Aramco.
Aramco, yeah. How
you pronounce it?
Yeah. Something like that.
It's a massive oil company. So, in my opinion, oil's not going anywhere anytime soon. It's just such an efficient resource and easy to transport, easy to store, good, can combust and power our cars. So,
yeah,
they'll continue to be big. But yeah, I think there is a concern of having too much concentrated in those, couple stocks that are really pushing the envelope and pushing forward AI technology. And I think you do bring up a good point as far as like people taking a step back and maybe saying, we don't want as much technology, around, and maybe at the dinner table, we need to get back to, just sitting there around the table and just talking, because that's, something that has been definitely diminished over the last couple of generations. I think about my kids are funny. They, whenever we're in the car driving, you know, if there's not a movie playing, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so bored. Why isn't there a movie playing? And I'm thinking to myself, I just remember sitting there looking out the window, like there's nothing to do when you're in the car driving. And yet, you know, the current generation, my kids are like, it feels like they're being starved, I guess, if they don't have a movie on every second, but it's just different. So
yeah, it's different and it's constantly stimulated, I guess, nowadays. But then I wonder long-term what the effects are, and neither one of us are psychiatrists or doctors or anything like that, but what are the long-term effects of just creativity? I mean, you look at these companies like NVIDIA or, you know, people who created Amazon and, you know, going back to, you know, Thomas Edison, whoever, they had a lot of time to, there wasn't as many distractions. So you had more time to think things up, invent things. And nowadays there's so many people, such a large segment of the population, just distracted and by everything all the time, that is creativity being zapped by productivity and productivity enhancements. I guess we'll find out. I guess
there's a show out there called Futurama,
which
is by the same maker of The Simpsons. They have an episode where, you know, they tell you the dangers of humans dating robots and why that was so dangerous and how it was actually the impending doom of the entire human civilization was them just getting too deep into the robot technology. So it's a funny episode if you ever have a chance to see it. But
you're asking me to distract myself.
Yeah. Well, like, it's like the kid, you know, was a teenager and he bought the, you know, it looked like Marilyn Monroe and it was called the Monrobot. You know, and he didn't want to go out and get a job and earn money to go take Susie down the street on a date. You know, he's like, I'd just rather stay here and hang out with my Monrobot. And he never does anything with his life because he's so distracted with it. So
yeah,
I think those are like cautionary tales of, you know, how technology can be a detriment. And so I think, you know, just balancing it, I think, is always a good idea. And with AI specifically, I'm excited for it. I'm also, there's a side to it that I'm a little bit nervous of. And so I think with any new technology, there's always the propensity for it to be a really good thing or not a good thing.
Yeah.
The internet is a good example. Yeah.
Yeah. Internet as well. Nuclear energy, nuclear power. Yep. I mean, can be a great thing. Can also be a bomb. You know, I mean, it just depends how it's used. What is the state of the economy? I mean, as it looks more and more likely that it's a Biden versus Trump rematch, which we predicted, and you made a lot of predictions earlier this year and late last year that it seems like holding pretty steady so far as we're, you know, where we January, February, March, three months about into the year. Election, you have talked a lot in the past about election year economics, I guess, how the incumbency and they juice this stuff and they keep things going pretty good. Does it seem like we're kind of on that path still, that they're doing anything they can to make sure it all keeps rolling?
Yeah. So back in September of last year, I was forecasting that we would end the year strong in the markets just because the Federal Reserve was pretty much, you know, going to be done raising rates. And normally when they finally come out and say, hey, we're not raising interest rates anymore, you know, the markets usually do quite well over the next 12 to 24 months. And then I actually thought that not only are they going to not raise rates, but sometime in 2024, actually look at cutting rates. Now, they just had a, you know, meeting today with the Federal Reserve and they said, hey, we're not going to cut rates anytime soon. But I don't know if I buy that 100%. I mean, that could change very quickly. And so next month they could say, oh, yep, we need to cut rates, you know, just for whatever reason. But you do bring up a good point of whenever there's a presidential race, what do the markets do? And actually, it's interesting that we had looked at some stats, and I think it was like 85% of the time during that fourth year when there was a presidential election year, 85% of the time the markets ended the year positive, regardless of who got elected. And so, you know, we got that favor in our, you know, in our favor. We've got interest rates. We also have really strong employment numbers still that are being cranked out at people, you know, if you want to work, there's plenty of opportunities. In fact, there's a lot of jobs that are going unfilled. I think it's like 9.5 million. So, you know, when people are working, they're out earning money. When people are out earning money, they're out spending it, you know, which is the majority of what makes our economy go around. I think it's like 70% consumer spending. So kind of tracking those two numbers are really important. It kind of tells you a picture. And actually, I'd heard this said one time And it really made me think about the markets and the economy. And they said, you know, it's almost near impossible to have a recession and have really low unemployment at the same time. Those two just don't mix. Usually, when you have a recession, you have high unemployment, meaning people aren't able to find work, they lose their jobs, and that's kind of, you know, part of the issue. But when people aren't working and still earning money, even if they're in debt a lot, or maybe they're not making enough to, you know, really, you know, keep up a good quality of life or what they're used to, they're still working. So, yeah. So right now, I mean, unemployment's low. It's like 3.7-ish in that range. And yeah, normally it's in the high fives, you know, on average. So those are all the good reasons for why I think this year will continue to be strong. And then the presidential race is a whole nother can of worms. I think as you get further down, the year, and we actually know who the RNC candidate is going to be and the DNC candidate is going to be, and they actually finalize those, I think the market will have a lot better of a forecast of how the results are going to be. But right now, it's still kind of, like you're saying, it looks like it's going to be Trump versus Biden, but we don't know for sure.
Yeah, I guess anything's possible. Yeah, I would bet money on it. But then again, maybe Biden isn't the nominee. I would, if I was betting, bet almost 100% Trump will make it, will be the, they're both going to be the nominee, but does one get pushed out or drop out? And that would be Biden over anybody else, over Trump. But if I had to bet right now, I'd say Biden versus Trump, version 2.0 here, to stick with our high tech terminology, Glenn. We'll see though.
Yeah, it actually, I was listening to a podcast the other night talking about, I think they, both parties can choose to elect and put whoever they want as the nominee, no matter how popular they become. And so I think they always reserve that right to do that.
Yeah, but in practicality.
Yeah, yeah, in practicality, that would be like Trump winning, you know, all the states to, for the, you know, preliminary get on the ballot to be the nominee, and then the RNC saying, no, we're not going to
pick
you.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. No, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, practicality, I don't see them doing that.
Yeah.
But Nikki Haley's still in the race.
She's gone. She's suspended. Yeah. It was earlier today. She suspended her candidacy after yesterday's Super Tuesday. I think she won Vermont or something like that, which is pretty left leaning. Those are like Mitt Romney Republicans, except for eight of them.
Yeah.
You know, no, but she suspended. Night,
but yeah. Wow. Things happen quick.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's which it kind of thought would happen. Her money's probably drying up at this point. Trump's 900 delegates and he needs like 1100 or something. So yeah, I'd bet real money that I'm even less likely thinking that it's going to be Biden, you know, bowing out. I mean, Michelle Obama says, oh, I don't want it. I'm not going to do it. That would probably be one of the only viable options for them. We'll see what happens. It all has implications on the economy planning and all that. But we don't have a crystal ball, but it's going to be interesting to watch. All right, Glenn. Hey, I appreciate the update. When I get back from my trip, we'll get you back here in studio and see if the predictions are still holding. We'll see how all that goes. And you guys can email Glenn if you got any questions for him. GLEAST@WTWealthManagement.com. Glenn's number as well here. It is 928-225-2474. Glenn, good talking with you. I'll talk with you again soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Thanks for listening to this market update brought to you exclusively by Glenn Least of WT Wealth Management. Remember, the information provided here does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and of my guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Remember, you can call Glenn Least, get a one-on-one consultation, talk with him at 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. Or email GLEAST, GLEAST, GLEAST@WTWealthManagement.com. We'll see you soon.